In this episode, I had the absolute pleasure of sitting down and talking with Lori Frederick from Balanced Biomechanics, also known as the Movement Ninja. So many of you may have heard of Lori and seen her work, her many videos online. We'll get into all of that stuff today on this episode, but we're going to tackle the difference between warm-up or work prep and stretching and when you should do each of them. I learned a lot and got a lot out of this episode. I know you will as well. So buckle up and let's get into it. All right, everybody. Before we get into today's topic, I want to remind everybody, if your business is reopening after any kind of closure due to COVID, or you've continued to remain open, but you're struggling with how to mark your facilities to ensure physical distancing and relay important information about safety and health as it relates to COVID, I want you to go visit our friends over at Mighty Line Floor Tape. Mighty Line has some great products for you to mark your floors, whether it be the stand here, the 6 feet distancing, or just floor tape to denote lanes of travel. They have everything you need to mark your facility. So hit the link in the show notes, visit our friends at Mighty Line Floor Tape. They are incredible partners in safety. I can't thank them enough for their support of the podcast. Again, Mighty Line Tape for all of your floor marking needs. All right, we are here with Lori Frederick from Balanced Biomechanics. You are the owner of Balanced Biomechanics, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. So Lori, before we get into our topic, tell us a little bit about your background and experience and what you do for people and businesses.
I love this one. And I've really tried to hone down the explanation, but I essentially help blue-collar workers learn to move and lift things without getting hurt, which makes them feel better, move better, and ultimately saves the company buckets of money. So,
buckets of money.
In literally a nutshell, buckets, huge, which is a big deal. So, my background is exercise science and sports massage. So, I don't have the safety background. I'm not an ergonomist. I'm coming at it from kind of the sports medicine approach to things. And that's how I started out after college in my own private business doing massage therapy and strength coaching. And it was a really great back and forth business to where, you know, hey, let's work out. Oh, you're sore? Oh, let's do a massage instead. It was a great little world that fed on itself for service. But I ultimately was lucky enough to just have some exposure into the safety industries and learn about material handling and things like that. And I thought this is an awesome opportunity to teach folks who really wouldn't go out and get a massage or get a personal trainer how to take care of their bodies better. And it's ultimately really rewarding for me because I have a huge appreciation for all the trades that keep our first world country running. And I love that I get to give back and help them feel better.
That's excellent. I mean, just that alone, right, is so, you know, it's very self-serving. Safety professionals, we talk a lot about what we do, but it's very humbling, but it also, you know, it makes us feel like we're doing something good for others that are doing things. So you actually have an online persona, right? You have this. Explain how that came about.
The Movement Ninja. You know, it's as anything, personal branding kind of comes along for a while. When I started my original business, it was the Balance Guru because Balance Biomechanics, and it went through there. When I moved into industry, one of my first clients was an oil and gas fracking company, but then I also picked up the National Park Service in Rocky Mountain National Park for their trails crew, fire crews, everyone who's really physical, but they really didn't fit into the industrial athlete basket. So I'm like, my industrial athlete programs just felt weird. And honestly, it was kind of just an epiphany of like, we called it the find your inner ninja training. And I'm like, these guys are more ninjas than industrial athletes. And then that just planted the seed to then ninja training. Someone's like, yeah, don't call it industrial athlete training. Even in my oil and gas worlds, they're like, ninja training's way better. And then I was the ninja lady. And then I'm like, okay, I really teach movement. And thus the movement ninja was born.
Excellent. Yeah, because I think most of the listeners would probably recognize this now, right? If they haven't heard of Lori and haven't seen Lori on the various social media channels, especially LinkedIn, the movement ninja might be like, oh yeah, that's who that is. So that's who you are. So that's who we're talking to.
Exactly. It's less of a mouthful than balanced biomechanics and just more memorable. And honestly, it's really what I've finally figured out in business is the secret sauce in that ninja training just ends up being way cooler than material handling class.
Right. You need a hook, you know, something simple, easy to remember, and just rolls off the tongue. So you've nailed it.
For sure. Super fun.
So why we are talking today is it's something that I realized a while back, and we were talking just before we started recording, and we'd been messaging back and forth setting this up, but I like to run, and I don't stretch before I run. I know others that I go running with, and you know, we're standing around for 3 to 5 minutes, and they're doing these, the quad, I call it the flamingo.
That's yes.
It's like every, I'm like, why are you doing this? It's the every runner that I go with, they're standing there on one leg, they grab their foot with their one hand and just stretch that quad, right? And they'll stand there for just, they'll hold that thing for 90 seconds and then do the other one and then maybe bend over, or I don't know. They just have this ritual. I think it's more psychological than anything, but I won't stretch and I'll just do a light jog. I start off a little slow, but I wasn't entirely sure why. All I know is that when I did stretch, when I first started out running years ago, I didn't feel good when I started running. I felt like my legs were like, yeah, no, we're done. We're gonna not run right now. And it took me a while to get up to my pace. And I don't know, I just didn't like it. But when I got done, I know that I feel better and I'm not as sore if I stretch after. So let's get into, you know, making the leap to the workplace. Let's get into, is there a difference between warming up, stretching? When would we use each one? And how can safety professionals communicate and educate operations managers and employees, workers, about the difference between the two and when we should be doing them?
I love this topic because it's honestly, from coming in from a sports athletic world and knowing the huge stretching debate that happened, there was a huge wave of like, well, you shouldn't stretch. Well, should you stretch or doing anything like that? It's finally been clarified there. But my words when it comes to occupational work is that stretching is not work prep. It does not prepare you well for work. And I know lots of people are like, wait a minute, we have a stretch and flex program. This is what we do. We stretch before we work. And so my goal has been to try to educate on stretching versus work prep and flexibility versus mobility. And just understanding that they went into like stretching is bad because athletes were finding out there was more injuries if you would stretch for longer periods of time beforehand. And so not getting too far into the science, but when you're stretching and holding for a long period of time, you're trying to lengthen the muscle, but you're also like down regulating the muscle. You're relaxing. It's kind of like if you just went to get a massage, are you going to really feel like going for a run? No is usually the answer.
So there are actually it's neurological, not just in the muscle, but sending a clear message back to the brain. I know you didn't want to get too deep into this, but isn't that what's going on? The act of holding that stretch for a long period of time, it's to relax that muscle. So that sends a message back to the brain of, we're done. We're done with this muscle, right?
Yes. As much as we would like to say that our muscle, and I compare muscles to silly putty just in an analogy, but they just don't work that way. Really, they lengthen. It's neurological and it's your motor learning and all sorts of things. But essentially, right, when you're stretching and holding, it's kind of what I'll say, putting them to sleep. And we really, especially if you're going to be doing physical work, you want them to be responsive. You don't want them to be relaxed. And so that's when we get into the warm-up idea and work prep idea and mobility. So I'm big on trying to have people move away from calling it stretch and flex and calling it a mobility program or a work prep program. Because then that's the way that you can convey to the workers better about what's expected. And granted, there's always going to be people in your work prep program, even the stretch and flex programs, they're just checking the box, right? They've been told that's what they're supposed to do. They're not really sure about it. And very few continue to use it throughout the day. And so ultimately, what I like to do is explain the why behind it all, and that oftentimes will get the worker to end up wanting to do it on their own, like at lunchtime or end of day or something like that.
So let's start there. Let's start with work prep. Like, okay, I'm coming to work and let's say I understand we've gotten through this whole, like, what is a stretch and what is a work prep. So let's start there. Like let's say I'm doing a specific action, right? How do I know I'm stretching versus warming up? Is it timing? Is it the actual movement? Is it, because, you know, this isn't on video, so it's going to be, we're all on audio here. So maybe, do you have something that's very simple that everybody can understand? Like I said, grab your quad, right? And pull that back. What would you say to me, like, this is the difference between work prep and stretching?
Yes. And really it is. So it's the movement behind it all and making it move. So a lot of times I'll tell people, just take your current stretch and flex program and make it move. So the grabbing of the quad with grabbing your foot behind you, you can grab it and really extend up into great posture and then let it go and then grab it again. And I like your idea of getting through a smaller, easy run before you get into your regular pace. So, and then oftentimes, so if someone's going to do like confined space work and they're going to be in a small space, I want their body to get good at getting smaller and then getting out. That's probably the hardest part. It's one thing to get in there, it's another thing to get out. So moving through the motions, whether they're going to be in a deep squat. So you start with a shallow squat and then a little bit more and then a little bit more. That's the idea behind the work prep. So you add the movement and the control. And this is probably a fair time to also get into my conversation of flexible versus mobile, because it'll help round it all together. Flexibility is essentially your joint range of motion. Okay. And then mobility is your muscle control through that range of motion. So a lot of times, like, I used to be a gymnast, so I do have good flexibility here and there still. So putting my leg up on like the kitchen counter is one thing. Leaving it there and stretching means that I'm flexible, right? But to actually lift it off the counter and then place it back down means that I have the function and the mobility throughout that range. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm following you. So range of motion, I think people get range of motion, right? So I can bend down or try to bend down and touch my toes, right? And how far I'm able to do that that's the range of that motion. Is that correct?
Yes. You got it.
So what's the next step then?
So then, I mean, touching your toes, you're kind of using the gravity, but it's essentially bringing yourself back up out of it. Or like if we're staying with hamstrings and you're bending over to touch your toes, the way to make it mobile is to bend your knees, straighten your knees, bend your knees, straighten your knees. Okay?
I get it.
So you add the movement into that. So if someone like rod busters who are always bent over throughout the day, tying rebar, right? It's the craziest task I've seen, that they're amazingly flexible in their hamstrings because that's where they're working throughout the day. But they're also walking and doing that. So they have to be functional. So, I mean, I feel like I want to squirrel off. Injury prevention is a whole nother thing on what I would tell them to do during their work prep. But essentially, if you want to get more functional and mobile in your hamstrings, you would be down there touching your toes and then moving around, maybe even, you know, taking some steps or something like that.
No, this is perfect analogy. Even with the confined space, you got into it with somebody going into a confined space. And now we're talking about, you know, tying rebar together it's one thing to be able to bend over and do that, but then also move while you're doing it, right? And for a sustained period of time.
Correct. And once it learns that range of motion, once your muscles get used to that new function, that range of motion, granted, if you kind of picture a bar graph, and your joint range of motion is your flexibility. There's these areas in, if you stay and work within your mobility range, your muscles are super happy. And you really have to go into like bad adulting to get yourself hurt. Okay. The difference between your flexibility and your mobility zone. Okay. So if I can place, like lift my leg and put it on the kitchen counter. If just lifting my leg up goes to like half the countertop, I can pick it up with my hands and bring it to the top of the countertop. That difference of where my hands had to guide it is between, it's my flexibility zone. Okay, am I making sense?
Yeah, you are. You've reached the limit of what the leg can do on its own.
Yes.
You have to then help it. It could still get there.
Exactly.
But you just had to help it there. So that's sort of a gray area.
Yes. And gray area is a perfect description, because if you're working and moving, you know, or doing something in your flexibility zone, this is one where if someone's like pushing something heavy and all of a sudden they like slip and move, your body kind of makes that little tweak. It's not injured, but it goes, you know, it's like, wait a minute, you probably shouldn't do that again. That, to me, is the flexibility zone, to where you're not totally in control and you have this gray area, kind of a 50-50 chance if you're going to come out with an injury or not. So
it sounds like what you're saying to me anyway, what I'm getting is, it's a huge message, is I've got to know my limitations. And sometimes, is this an added benefit of a good program in the workplace of prep, and we haven't gotten to stretching, but will this help people like me just going through this, starting out before I work? Will this help me understand what that limit, where that upper limit
yes.
is?
Because it just overall, it's making you more aware of your body, its limitations, and understanding that position. Once you put it into work, like the moments where you're reaching a little further than you think you probably should, those are moments to stay extra aware of the control of what's going on. And so, you know, it's why you can't just all of a sudden go into a sprint without the warm up. Is that, yes, that if your muscles are surprised, they don't like it.
Yeah, and I do. I kind of, even before, like when I'm getting my watch and I tap the app to start my run, I'm kind of doing that little, I don't know, that little dance, right, on the balls of my feet. I'm doing a little, like, and then I'm shaking the foot, and I'm shaking the right foot, and shaking the left foot. I'm doing my little, I'm kind of warming it up, right? Yeah, the hokey pokey. I do that, and then I start with a light jog before I get to my pace, and I've just sort of, I learned how to do this from being sore a lot and knowing my limitations. So yeah, this would be super useful for people that have to do something that's, you know, not just demanding physically, like with a lot of weight or anything, but just from a, you know, a posture, body positioning, static positioning standpoint. Like you said, you know, tying rebar together. It's not so much that I'm lifting a lot of stuff. It's this is more of holding that position and being able to then move along and not get injured. That's key. So we have, what can an employer do for warm-ups for work prep? I mean, do we use the same series of warm-up movements, or should they be tailored to the work that we're expected to do?
I like to tailor it to the work eventually, but there's a basic, what I use as a warm-up for the body is squats. And sometimes if people's knees are grumpy, we do what's called like standing hip circles. So you kind of bring your knee up to the front and then step out to the side, and then do your other one, bring your knee up and step it out to the side. Moving your legs that have lots of big muscles in them help move the circulation in your blood around. So that's ultimately the goal. Big muscles, movement. So a squat, even a small squat, and then working up to a bigger squat. If people have good shoulders, I have them reach up in the air at the same time, and all of a sudden the arms are working, the legs are working. We're getting, you know, it's like, why is it that everybody gets winded when you go up a flight of stairs? Well, like, you're using all your muscles all of a sudden after, you know, potentially not using them beforehand. So a warm up is just something that's going to get your circulation going. It can be a lot of different things, but I like to use something with the legs because it just happens quicker that way.
Nice. Okay. So now what about stretching? So let's say I'm, well, before we even get there, we've got this big chunk in the middle called the workday or the task, right? Maybe I'm transitioning. I'm doing this task for an hour, 2 hours, and I'm going to transition to something completely different. But let's kind of work the middle, the big fat middle chunk. How often should I take a break? What about after lunch? Do I do this again? Before we even get to, you know, cool down or end of the run for me or end of the shift for others?
No, definitely. Because I see where you're going, and I don't want to vilify stretching because there's definitely a point and there's a value in stretching. So yes, we'll get there. The chunk in the middle is, it is pretty custom to the industry, to the task, to the body that's doing it. But say you're an electrician. And if you're doing overhead work, right, that I think I usually ask, my favorite thing to ask new industries that I'm learning about is what task sucks the most. And then without fail, it's like overhead work. And a lot of times it's really difficult on the body because someone's shoulders don't have great range of motion and mobility in that motion, right? If someone's really tight in the shoulders and they're trying to work above their head, their arms are actually, and the muscles around the shoulder are actually working harder than someone who has more mobility. So that's where more task-specific, you know, arms above your head motions before pre-task are going to be helpful. But definitely after you do that and say you're going to go pull some wire or do something a little more intricate, there's not necessarily something that you have to do in between unless there's, this is where I'll just tell people, be more aware of what's going on. If you're up with your arms above your head for a long period of time, one of the best corrections is actually sitting down like on a bench or something and holding yourself up off that bench so you're pushing down with your arms.
Yeah, so do the opposite. Yeah, I've always been told if I'm holding my head up, and another thing with overhead work is your head is back, neck is hyperextended, right? And so if you're doing that every so often, touch your chin to your chest and hold that there for a while. Do the opposite, go in the opposite direction. So that makes sense if you're raising your arms up, your shoulder, you're lifting weight over your head. So now let's push weight from below, right?
Yes, and vice versa. If someone's in manufacturing and they're looking down at what they're doing the whole time, then taking a micro break and looking up in a good controlled fashion. Don't throw your head up and just flash dance it or something. But
Come on. Really?
Hair flip.
Let's do
right?
that. Blaine, yeah,
the hair flip. You're so good at the hair flip. It's a thing.
Oh yeah, because I have the hairs for that. So how long, like you said, micro breaks. So this one, I get this question from time to time, not a lot, but I will get it from time to time. And What is a micro break? Like what constitutes a micro break?
Oh, it's tricky. I would give it a minimum of 5 seconds. I mean, really, if it's someone who's on an assembly line, they're always looking down, they're fixing something, I would, find a way to set a timer that, every 30 minutes, you look up, you open up your arms, take them behind you, do something opposite, even for 5 seconds will be beneficial. 10 is great. We don't want to get into then, okay, hold it for 30 seconds, because then we're getting into the stretching and not the mobility again. And this is where it kind of goes back to the motor learning of your muscle. You just want to give it a different signal for a little bit, not to get it really comfortable in your bad posture that you might be in. Get out of that posture for a little bit. It re-signals the muscles and then to get back into it.
Yeah. And I mean, what you said earlier, it gets blood flowing. The tighter the muscle is, the more constricted, and for a longer period, it restricts blood flow. It kind of gets the juices flowing, keeps it pliable, right? Which is less prone to injury in that case. So if I go to lunch, I'm stopping my task. So naturally I'm dynamic. Like I'm moving, I'm walking, I'm going to grab my lunchbox. So I'm doing some other, movements with my body, and I'm sitting to eat, and I'm talking to somebody maybe or whatever. But maybe a half an hour lunch, what do I do when I go back?
The same movements. There's still a need for a warm-up, and I know a lot of people are like, I'm just lucky if I get them to do it pre-shift, And it seems like if you're doing it right and you have a good program, the workforce will feel better doing it. And as with anything, if all of a sudden you tweaked your pre-run program just a little bit, and you got a better time, you felt better, you were less sore, all of a sudden you're like, I'm going to do that all the time. That in itself is the hook that will get the workforce to want to do it, because they will feel better. And they're like, yeah, after I've sat down for lunch and gotten a little relaxed, when you're eating, your blood flow goes to your internal systems because it needs to digest. So we need to get it back out to the limbs. So it doesn't have to be quite as detailed. Definitely someone could go through a whole thing again. Honestly, the base program that I put out there with squats, with a little full body motions and work prep, it's two minutes. So it's really easy to stick in wherever, but there's definitely, it's preferable to do it after you've been kind of stagnant and still for more than 45 minutes.
Okay, perfect. So now I think that unless you have something else to add, I mean, you've got a whole career based on this. So I know we're not going to shove it all into one.
Lots of rabbit holes.
Yeah, we're not going to shove it all into one episode. But now let's get to the end. Let's get to the nasty stretch, which I love stretching, by the way. So I love the way you kind of couched that in that, people like to vilify it, but there's, stretching is good. So let's talk about that part.
Yeah. So stretching is still good. And you really, it's part of the corrective movements at end of day for someone. So if they've spent the day, we'll go with the rod busters bent over forward, then I really want them to do something that's really chest opening, long kind of hold stuff. It's going to do a couple different things. It's going to send that opposite signal that says, hey, let's not get stuck in this bent over position. But it's going to work the flexibility in the opposite direction, which we want. Flexibility is good. So you can just keep working on both. Flexibility is most often greater than your mobility. It's very common. And you're going to have differences from right to left and all those sorts of things based on your body and your tasks that you do at work. But down regulating your muscles is what I call it, is a good thing. It gets them, it kind of helps counteract the repetitiveness of the motions. Does that make sense? So we still want to get flexible.
And, you know, just like our bodies are, we need sleep, we need rest. Your muscles, at some point, the stretching, telling the that muscle group or specific muscle that, okay, now it's we're done working, and you can relax. What's the benefit of stretching, you know, after you're done, other than, you know, what we've talked about? Is there an injury? Does it prevent injuries?
Yeah, well, it's recovery, essentially. So it's kind of a getting your body into recovery mode. And I'll sometimes tell people that you don't have to do it like right after work, because sometimes people get done with work and they have like a 45-minute drive home. I would, you know, so I'd almost rather them find something at home. I know that's hard because a lot of times people walk through the door and then they get distracted by life that comes in. So finding it where people can, maybe it's before bed, but stretching, calming down, gets your body into recovery mode. It's still, you know, it is still good for some circulation and muscle lengthening. One of my favorite analogies to use with muscles, like I mentioned at the beginning, is silly putty. And most people can get this visual, and granted, it's not technically how your muscles work. But if you take silly putty right out of the egg and you pull it hard and fast, what's it usually do?
It usually snaps.
It'll snap, right? But if you take it and you warm it up in your hands and you move it around slowly and you pull it apart slowly, you get lots of great motion from it. Okay? So that's the visual I like to leave people with as far as stretching goes. That really long, great stretching still helps you with your range of motion, and that's important. And then the warming up beforehand prevents you from any snaps or tweaks or grumpy muscles.
Great analogy. And you're right. Analogies are never, that's why they're analogies. They're never really, you know, right, apples to apples. But that's a great visual for people to keep in mind. And so, you know, I often get this a lot, and that is, the difference between, man, I've heard everything from work conditioning, work hardening, muscle soreness versus muscle injury. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a medical doctor. So I don't want to get into diagnosing things. That's not the aim of this conversation. But what's your experience, or what would you say to me to be on the lookout? Like, okay, I'm really sore because I just started this job. I just got hired. And for the last 3 days, it's just, I'm sore, I'm achy. What, is there some credence to this? Is that a real thing?
No, definitely. I mean, this would tie into a whole nother episode on the whole concept of early intervention and trying to figure out, you know, aches and pains versus injury. That, I guess, without going into that new episode, if you're still able to move and function the same without a ton of compensation, then it's going to get better. there's times to get through it. Aches, body aches and pains happen, especially in blue collar industries, especially with physical work, and especially when you've just started. So circulation is great, recovery, good sleep. I love heating pads. All those sorts of things will help people through it. You'll know that it's a little more than an ache and a pain if there's a really big limp going on, or if you're sore in your legs, but then your back starts hurting. If it starts to move and really pile on and doesn't ebb and flow, like it's just continually getting worse, that's not a good sign. But if someone's still able, they're like, ooh, you know, sitting down is really painful on my legs because they're so sore. But after I get moving, they do okay. And then after I'm stagnant for a while, it hurts again. That's, you know, a great education in muscle soreness and where circulation is, hydration, all those great recovery things come into play.
Excellent, excellent point. So we have warming up, getting the muscles moving at the beginning, preparing for work. You call it mobility, right? We're going to work on mobility. Micro stretches throughout the day, especially if you are holding a static position or repetitive task. Micro stretches. If you take a long break in the middle of the day, 45 minutes or so, like a lunch, or you get away from that task for some time and you come back to it, there's a benefit of, you know, warming up a little bit again. And then, of course, at some point at the end of the day, it doesn't necessarily have to be at the end of the shift, which, you know, this is something that I'm going to write down. Have some stretching, get into that mode, recovery mode, get those muscles into the recovery mode and rest, right?
Correct. Brilliant wrap. That was...
I'm a good student.
That was great. That was very... And I really liked, I just have to say how, you know, when we're talking about neck stuff and looking up versus looking down, I could tell your voice changed and you were actually like chin to chest doing the stretch.
I know. I'm such a dork. But yeah, I was looking down. So that's good. Yeah. So, and you know what? You even set us up for a possible second episode getting into, you know, injury prevention and, you know, all that whole topic building on this. So I would love that if we could do something in the near future again and build on this for safety pros that are listening.
Most definitely. I'd be more than happy to. And I'd also want to make sure that everybody knows that I do have a full free mini course online on the 3 steps to build a better stretch and flex program, which kind of reinstates the things that we've said here, but gives safety pros a little more fuel for the fire when they're tasked to build a better stretch and flex program.
Yes, yes. And that's what we need, right? I try to do this. I mean, that's been the tagline for my podcast for years, since what, 2014, was, you know, no platitudes, no guru speak, just actionable information you can use. So where can safety pros go to get that awesome information?
There's a couple different places. I am working on building the movementninja.com, which I don't want to totally distract from balancebio.com. But all the courses now, I mean, I have to say I'm grateful for COVID and the pivot that I've had to make. Building stuff online has enabled me to create this big library. So it's going to themovementninja.com are where the courses are. And I believe it's themovementninja.com/3steps free.
And we'll have links in the show notes and in the blog post. I'll get those from you so that we can direct them to the right place. But it sounds like you have a lot going on. And I'm so glad you said that about the, you know, the global pandemic that is, you know, was 2020, and how mindset is very, very important. And it can drive your whole outlook on things. And you know, what I heard you say was it's caused you to innovate.
Yes.
You know, and get into something that you may not have thought about doing before. And I think it's a great thing. I know you're working on that whole site, and you've recently become a member of the Safety Pro Podcast community. So yes. I look forward to your feedback and input there as well. And so to my listeners, you can go and find the notes and a conversation about this topic at the Safety Pro Podcast community, also going to be in the show notes. But also, I'll put the link to Lori's information and where you can go get more information about her course as well. And look, we need to educate ourselves on this topic if we are going to educate the operations leaders and managers. Because what's funny is they're the ones leading these things. When you have like an entire manufacturing facility with all their different groups that start around the same time, the safety manager is not leading all these startup meetings. You know, if you think about it, we're relying on managers, supervisors, or maybe we rotate, which is even better. We rotate around to get some engagement and participation amongst the workers. So safety pros, go check out this information, go through that course, educate yourself, and then impart this information on those that are going to lead these little warm-ups and then stretches and such. So that's where we're going to need to get to, is making sure that we transfer this knowledge to others.
Yes, I do. I'm kind of a stickler that I really want the safety pros to also do this themselves. I'm big on, you need to walk the talk also, right? Adding it in your own day, if it's not something you usually do, puts you in the shoes of the workforce, in that you're like, I feel silly doing it, or whatever it is, all the excuses that I hear, right? Lets you then explain it better to whoever's going to lead it, and then bring them in. Be like, I know it's new, it's different, but you know, it's like how I tell my kids to eat something new. We do a 2-bite rule. You got to give it at least 2 bites before you say no. So you have to try it a couple of times before you say, ah, I don't like it.
There you have it, listeners. Lori is saying, go and take her course, get the education, learn about what this is. 2, you have to do it in order to learn how to teach it to others. So you have to experience it and you have to do it, and then sustain it. You have to lead by example, set the example. It's going to benefit you, but it's also going to help you become a better teacher. And then, of course, impart that knowledge on others and then help them improve this process going forward, because you're not done once you just tell people about it. So this is how you're going to, you know, systemically kind of create this culture around this whole movement concept. And the movement. That's right. It's M2, right? Movement squared. So that's how you're going to do that. So I'm so glad you were able to share this information, and that we were able to talk about this today. And I look forward to hearing some feedback on folks that go through your course and take that program. And so what about LinkedIn? You're pretty active on LinkedIn?
Most definitely. I'll jump on LinkedIn all the time. So yes, please. Thanks for that. Connect with me on LinkedIn. I love questions. I also have a text community, which I honestly, it's getting more and more active as people are getting a little fatigued with being online stuff, is my text community is where you can just text me a random question and be like, what was my arm position when I was supposed to do that again? Or what's my best thing for my knee ache? I love those questions. And you can text me directly. It's right in my phone, 720-704-4851. And we can put that all in the notes too, right? Nobody has to remember the phone number.
720-704-4851.
You got it.
Text Lori your movement questions. That's incredible. That's great. I don't know too many people that do that.
It's a really great new tool. It's, you know, celebrities have it and all sorts of things. And I'm no celebrity, but I just really was looking for a different option, because maybe there's someone in a trade, their company's not really having the culture to provide training like we provide, but they're really still interested in moving better and feeling better, then they can jump in the text community and grab their own information along the way.
That's perfect. Lee, you got so much going on. I don't know how you're able to do it. I know I've just launched at the end of 2020 a community site, and you know, we've got big plans for 2021, and I hear you've got all this stuff going on, so that's real exciting. So what's new for you going into 2021? Are you're going to build out on your courses and continue to be able to remotely make your information and this knowledge available to people?
Yeah, I mean, micro learning is really the thing right now. Small videos for people who are working remote or things like that. But the biggest thing is I have a library that's built where, one, for safety pros, it'll help you avoid recordables, because it's a huge bank of wellness exercises. Again, that's for that other episode. But for anyone else, they can look up by, now, I'm not sure if you said it on this podcast, but if you said it to me at one point in time, if you have IT band pain or something like that, you can go in like hip or knee or something like that and look through all my hip videos, all my knee videos of stretching, mobility, rock tape, massage, all sorts of stuff. So that's what's coming.
Those videos are literally hip.
Yeah. They're
not
super
just
hip.
Cool. They're super. That was me. We were talking about my left IT band. It's just when it's cold, it just gives me trouble. So I have a couple of things I try. So I'm going to have to check those out because I think that'll help me. Thank you so much. We have to do another episode on injury prevention building on this. So we'll get to planning that here in short order. But I look forward to that conversation. And this one has been so enlightening for me. I know the listeners are going to get a lot out of this as well. Thank you very much, Lori, for taking time to talk with us today.
Thank you for having me on.
Once again, thank you so much, Lori, for sharing all of that incredible information. And we are definitely going to have a follow-up episode. Look for the post for this episode on the Safety Pro Podcast community page. We look forward to reading your responses. And as I mentioned, Lori is also a member of the Safety Pro Podcast community. Signing up is free, so you can see all the posts regarding our episodes. But to interact and get all of the premium content, videos, downloads, and training that are happening, including live chats that are coming soon, then think about becoming a premium member of the Safety Pro Podcast community. And I will talk to you on the next Safety Pro Podcast.